Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will not do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So far, so the text. In Christ Jesus, whose amazing grace is showered upon us by His willing sacrifice as full payment for all of our sins, dear fellow redeemed. This morning we close our worship service with an oldie but goodie, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace is probably one of the most beloved and one of the most famous hymns of the Christian Church. It was written around 1770 by a former slave trader named John Newton, who was converted and brought to faith in Christ and later became a pastor in England. However, the words of that hymn could have been written and sung by the Apostle Paul. From his letter to the Romans, he talks about the same truths that beloved hymn speaks of. Paul talks about God's great and amazing grace, His undeserved love for us sinners. Paul was lost and then was found when Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was converted from a Pharisee, an unbeliever who believed in his works, to a follower and believer in Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul used for himself in our text the same name that John Newton called himself in the first verse of this famous hymn, a wretch. A wretch. The name means an outcast, an evil, mean person, one who is very miserable and supremely unhappy. What a fitting name for lost mankind. We're all outcasts from the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden because of their sins. Paradise was lost. And also, we've been cast out, removed from God's family because of our sins. At our conception and birth, we were children, sons and daughters of Satan, wretches at heart. As you know, God so loved us wretches, in fact, He loved the whole world of wretches, that He sent His only begotten Son to redeem us, to buy us back, to ransom us. And thus, through faith in Jesus Christ, we once again have become sons and daughters of God, children of the Heavenly Father. But we still have sin in us that corrupts everything we think and say and do. Therefore, a good name for a Christian, a believer in Christ, is a ransomed wretch. Paul was a ransomed wretch. And as a ransomed wretch, he knew all about sin and grace. And therefore, our theme this morning is this: the ransomed wretch. First of all, the ransomed wretch recognizes what sin is all about. Secondly, the ransomed wretch recognizes that struggle, that battle, that warfare that goes on inside of us between our sinful flesh and our new man. And thirdly, the ransomed wretch recognizes deliverance only through Jesus Christ. Upon first reading of Paul's words, we may find them kind of confusing. I even stumbled on it as I read it in our sermon text. Paul says things like, I will, I do not, I would not, but I do. But what he's saying is true and factual. Paul, the sinner saint, is struggling to understand the conflict that he feels going on inside of him. He's a saint, a willing slave of God. But at the same time, he's a sinner and a slave to sin. In the first verse, Paul calls the law spiritual because it comes from God. We, on the other hand, are carnal, that is, of the flesh, sinful, sold under sin. So what does that mean to be sold under sin? Well, Paul explains this to us in the next verses. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul says that we're not free to choose our own way of living. In fact, very often, the things we do, we don't understand why we're doing them. What we want to do, we end up not doing. What we don't want to do, in fact, what we sometimes hate because we're Christians, that we end up doing. And that's because we're sold under sin. We can escape that hold that sin has on every single one of us. Sin is throughout our body, in all that we think and say and do. And how did Paul know this? How do you and I know this? Because of God's law. The law of God, our children in confirmation learn very quickly, SOS, shows us our sins. The ransomed wretch, the believer in Jesus Christ, sees the main purpose of the law is to reveal to us that we are filled with sin. And that is why Paul declares, and we can say the same thing with him, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the young pastor Timothy, wrote these words: this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Who of us would make that statement? Well, yeah, we profess our sins. We do this morning. We profess our sins before God in front of all of us as members of this congregation. Privately, we do so in the privacy of our home. We maybe confess our sins to a pastor, to a Christian friend, maybe a parent or a loved one. But who would stand up before all the world and proclaim to every single person in the world, I am the worst sinner ever? Paul did. He wrote those words, inspired, in a letter to the Romans. And not only did the Roman Christians in the Roman church there read it, but those of Asia Minor. And it was in the New Testament, in the Bible, which is the most widely read book in the history of the world. Now, Paul's not bragging about being a great sinner, like some people, you know, that brag about how smashed they got last night, or how often they've been drunk, or their Christmas were, or brag about their sexual conquests. Now he's saying this with shame, yet with boldness, and boasting in Jesus Christ, because he says, even though I'm the worst sinner of all, Christ died for me. If he died for me, the chief of sinners, then you can be assured he's died for everyone. Now, the modern day psychologists and psychiatrists of our day would say, something wrong with that man. Paul has an inferiority complex. He has a problem with severe guilt syndrome. He thinks of himself as less than others. Maybe because he has a mental imbalance. Or probably because as a child he was abused. No. Paul the ransomed wretch knows God's word. He knows God's law. He's looked into that law. And he saw the truth of himself, as every one of us do when we look at the Ten Commandments and see our sins. Paul knew David's words. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. He knew Isaiah's words, but we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, all our goodness, are like filthy rags. In fact, Paul wrote in one of his epistles, because the carnal, unbelieving mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And in the same letter to the Romans, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, and he wrote, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does good, no, not one. And this, as ransomed wretches, we also know. The law of God condemns us daily. But the ransomed wretch also recognizes that struggle, that daily battle and warfare between the sinful flesh and our new man. Paul puts it so succinctly in verses 19 to 23. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the new inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. Isn't this exactly how we live? As a child, you know, it's wrong to disobey your parents. Wrong to test back to them. Wrong to cheat at school. We know it's wrong to fight and quarrel and gossip and lie and lust and be envious and a multitude of other simple things, and yet we keep on doing them. According to our new man, the new man, we delight in the law of God. We want to do what God's law says of us. We want to obey God's law in thanksgiving and love for Jesus and all that he has done for us. But right there together with us is that sinful flesh of ours who is tempting us, alluring us, who is bringing our bodies under captivity, leading us to do what we don't want to do and not do what we want to do. Paul is not making excuses here. By saying, not my fault, the devil made me do it. Not my fault, it's my sinful flesh. Not my fault, it's a world problem. What he's doing is showing us that this battle, this warfare, this struggle is serious. It is dangerous. In fact, it's deadly. My sinful flesh is so very strong, and it feeds off of and grows stronger every day with sin. Our sinful flesh wants to rob us of our faith in Jesus Christ. Satan would love nothing more than have that one sin push us off the precipice
from faithfulness to unbelief. One intentional sin, not repented of, that then kills our heart and puts it back dead and cold once more. How scary. This is a serious battle. Should we despair? Yeah, we should, if we rely upon ourselves. Because the defense, the protection for this battle going on inside of us is not found from inside of us. It's found from outside of us, from Christ and His Word. And that's our third point. The ransomed wretch recognizes that deliverance comes only through Jesus Christ. And so Paul cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And I'm sure he then paused before he wrote the next words. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Many times we too weary and get tired of this constant fight and struggle between the new man that knows what Jesus wants and our sinful flesh, and ones who are just the opposite and tempts us every day. And we got to cry out too, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So often we don't win in our battles with our sinful flesh. Not because God's word is weak, but because we're weak. Or we forget to turn to God's word. Or we don't listen to it. Or we don't apply it. Jesus turned to the word. He applied the word when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And he conquered Satan. Or we place ourselves into very bad, tempting situations that we know are not good. Like Lot. I think I'll choose that immoral place, Sodom and Gomorrah, because there's better land there. And then we know what happened there. Or we intentionally know what God says, we don't do it because we want to do what we want to do. Like David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. As a pastor, I too cry out to God when I see my sinful thoughts, words and actions. "O wretched man that I am, who deliver me from this body of death?" And also when I see how easily Satan can get God's people to stop from hearing the word of God, to stop coming consistently for the one thing that strengthens their heart, to not come consistently to the Lord's Supper, to partake of that for the strengthening of their soul, to not raise their children with the one thing needful, give them everything they need in sports and activities and school and all kinds of things, but not the one thing needful, how important Jesus is to them. But Paul doesn't despair, and neither should we. Yes, we have our sinful flesh, which we'll have to battle every day to the day we die, because this body is a body of death. But thanks be to God that we, ransomed wretches, have been completely forgiven through Christ's shed blood. And thanks be to Jesus Christ that He has ransomed our bodies, sanctified our bodies, so that we've been set apart for Him, and that we can serve Him now, here in time, and with glorified bodies, completely purged from all sin, will serve Him forever in heaven. Yes. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. The peace of God which passeth understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.